Praise God. Well, we've been in a series for some time, I believe this is number 9, that we call Whatever Things Are True, centered on Philippians 4, 8. So let's read Philippians 4, 8 there on your sheet. It says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, and whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, and whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Go ahead and turn over there real quick. Philippians 4:8. I want to read just the verses before. The verses before are really familiar, but I think we'll just turn there real quick. Touch on something here. Philippians 4, do you see in verse 8, everybody have a Bible? Anybody need one? Philippians 4, 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true." And then the rest of the verse that we just read, but the verses before off quoted. Verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Verse 6 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, go to God. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, if you do this, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Then it says, "Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true and noble and just and so forth, think about these things or meditate on these things." The only way you're not, in verse 6, it says, "Be anxious for nothing." Well, the only reason you're going to be anxious is if you're believing a lie. Did you hear me? You say, "Well, no, this stuff's true in my life. You don't understand what's going on. I have every reason to be anxious." I didn't say your circumstances weren't real, but what you believe about your circumstances can be a flat lie. And the enemy, he's in the business of taking your circumstance and telling you what to believe about it. And that's where a lot of people are. They say, "Well, you don't understand where I'm at. I have no choice but to be anxious." That's not true. That's a lie. In fact, you believing that is why you're anxious. "I don't know how to get out of this thing." Okay? Maybe you don't. But if you're a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit inside you. You have the helper on the inside of you that can tell you how to get out. And if you think, this is impossible. This has been going on for too long. I don't know how anybody could get out. And if you say this is impossible, then you're believing a lie, and therefore you're anxious about it because you believe you have to live with it. But the truth is that there is nothing impossible with God, the Bible says. There is nothing impossible to him who believes. And so you believing that you're stuck is just not true. But if you believe you're stuck, if you believe there's nothing you can do about your circumstance, you will be anxious. You can try to get out of it all you want, but the part you need to change is what you're thinking about your circumstance. It's not the circumstance that's causing you to be anxious. It's what you think about the circumstance that's causing you to be anxious. Let's say you have a speaking engagement. Public speaking is one of people's greatest fears. So, you know, near the top, making a public mistake. And, you know, when you're speaking in front of people, you have opportunities to make mistakes and people fear that. Let's say you were invited to give a speech somewhere. You know, it could be at school or it could be at your business, and you're nervous about it and you're overly anxious about it. Why are you overly anxious? Because there could be a number of reasons based on the individual, but some of them could be you think if you say the wrong thing or mess up, that would be the worst thing ever. People would laugh at you. They would mock at you. They would talk behind your back, that you would lose your reputation. Something is causing you to be anxious, overly anxious. I'm talking about some people, they're you know, not trying to be gross, but you know, they're can't hold down their lunch or whatever. They're sweating cold sweat. They are beside themselves about this. This is the most dangerous thing ever. When in fact, there are many, many, many more things more dangerous than giving a speech. Actually, there are things that are way more dangerous. People that are actually facing real danger. You know, people that are defending us around the world are actually facing bullets that could kill them, which is much more dangerous than somebody talking behind your back. Actually. Right? I mean, it's not, but if you believe that that was the worst thing, you're anxious, but that's not true. Then you got people that have the same exact situation, and they're excited about it. I'm going to get to speak in front of people, and they're excited about it. Well, that's just them. But why aren't they, they're going the same thing you are, why aren't they scared to death about it? They're happy about it. And as soon as they get up there, they're at ease, and everybody else gets at ease. Why? Because they're fine with it. They're not scared. But somebody's scared to death about getting up in front of people, and then they get up and then they're scared, people pick up on that really fast. And all of a sudden, the thing that you're scared of starts to manifest. Because you're all scared and you're stumbling. And but it doesn't have to be like that. So why are you anxious? You're thinking wrong. Which is pretty much what we've been talking about for 8 weeks. The devil is a deceiver. That's exactly what he's trying to get us, is to think about in any situation in our life, he's trying to get us to believe the wrong thing. He's trying to deceive us. Which is why we need to focus on what the Bible says, on the right thing. So let's look back at your sheet. So we've been talking about whatever things are true. Number one, is it true? Because so much of what we'll get anxious about actually isn't even true. And if it's not true, there's no sense in getting anxious about it. It's no sense on thinking about it. Dismiss it. Philippians 4:8 says, fix your thoughts on what is true. Think about these things that are honorable and right and pure and holy and lovely, admirable. Think about the things that are true. We read in John 8:44, I realize I'm going through some of these same things, but we're on a foundation. We're already up here. And so we're just going over some of that quickly because I can't go over everything that we've covered, but there's some people that haven't heard those, and then just to get them a little bit on the same page and to remind us, get us to where we need to be so we can receive. We got some good stuff last week. I mean, we were getting into some things that I think we've been moving toward for a long time, and we'll continue that today. But if you didn't hear that, I encourage you to go listen to it. God is helping us. John 8:44 says, you are of your father the devil, and the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own, or resources is italicized, but his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. So he's a liar. There's no truth in him. He doesn't stand in the truth. He's the liar. He's the liar. But he will call men that are actually speaking the truth liars. Did you know that? So if the liar says somebody else is a liar, well, we should always ask that. I don't think you have this on your sheet. I could quote it, I could read it to you, but turn over there just so you see it. Matthew 27. Turn over there really quick. Matthew 27, 62. Matthew 27, 62. So this is Jesus has been put in the tomb. Verse 62, it says, on the next day which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate. So these guys are the ones that were after Pilate, after the leadership, to get rid of Jesus. They wanted him dead. And so now they're coming to Pilate. It says, on the next day which followed the day of preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees gathered together to Pilate, saying, sir, we remember while he was still alive how that deceiver said, after 3 days I will rise. Now, just like the devil, calling the Son of God. See, these guys are so deceived, they're calling the Christ, the truth, he's the deceiver now. When actually, they're deceived. And so they're going to Pilate and say, wait a minute, you know how they're, his followers said that they're going to try to pull a trick. They said, he always said he would rise after 3 days. So we know what they're going to do. He was a deceiver. So now what's going to happen is they're going to try to steal his body and then say that he rose. So we're going to try to preempt that. So 64, it says, therefore command. So these guys are telling Pilate. He said, when he was still alive, that deceiver said, talking about Jesus, after 3 days I'll arise. Therefore command that the tomb be made secure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say to the people, he has risen from the dead. So the last deception will be worse than the first. So these guys they don't think Jesus is the Son of God, which means they're deceived. But then they're calling Jesus the deceiver and saying he's going to, watch it, he's going to deceive. He's going to deceive. The whole deception with this whole thing, see, this is just a little sect off to its side. We don't believe it. We're trying to kill it. We just have this man crucified, and we don't want this to go forth and for everybody to say that he actually did rise. So we're going to try to make sure that doesn't happen, but because then the deception will go out that he actually was the Christ, and we don't want that. All the while talking about what actually is true, that Jesus actually is the Christ, the Son of God, that he actually came and was who he said he was, and is about to raise from the dead, yet they are saying Jesus and all his followers are they're the problem. And this is the way the devil works. Not working in the realm of truth, trying to discount and call good people. You know, the Bible says in our place that to call what is good evil and evil good. You see that? You see this happening right now in society, right? The people that are actually standing up and believing the truth, I'm not saying being mean, but believe the truth about Jesus and stand up for truth in certain areas, they're the ones that are actually evil and haters. You know what I'm talking about? We're Christians are the intolerant ones, which is absolutely, and I'm not saying all Christians are perfect, but the truth is most of these people that are crying intolerant are actually so intolerant. They want to shut down everything that doesn't agree just with them. But this is what, that's who their father is. Like if they're serving Satan, they are operating from the playbook. This is what he does. Calling evil what is actually good, and calling what is good evil. So they'll say the evil things, they're good. And you see this left and right. People talking about stuff as if it's good and a blessing, and it is an abomination. But we're raising that up, and then people that are good saying they're the deceiver, they're evil. This is what Satan does. Twisted. He's tricky. But look back on your sheet. So he's the father of this, and so he has offspring. I know that's not politically correct. People do not, you go and try, you go tell somebody, your father is the devil. And see how that goes. I'm not saying, I don't recommend that. On the other hand, Jesus actually, that's what he did. That's what he's doing here. He said, you are of your father, the devil. But it's true. There are two families, just so you know. There's not one family. There's not universal man, we're all in the same boat, we're all just brotherhood. That's not true. That sounds good, but it's not true. That's where people are trying to push it. We're all just in the same boat, we ought to just get along. And I just saw one, a slightly different thing. You know, you see the one that's like coexist, the bumper sticker? I saw something, it was like something about dwell in peace or something. But it had the same type of thing with all the different symbols, and then it had all the symbols like even below that. They had writing and then below it. And I'm just going, it's deception. It's, let's all just get along. Basically what it's saying is all these things are equal. It has a cross there, you know, all the different symbols. These are equal. These, what the idea is, these are all just ideas that men made up. You will hear people say religion is dangerous. It's what men made, they came up with. It's for ignorant people. It's from the dark ages. They're all the flavors are the same. They're just variations on a theme. This is what certain so-called educated people say. We know this now. That's deception. Where does that arrive? That means anybody that's saying they're the truth is deceived. What this line of thinking takes you to is that, see, all these religions, quote unquote, they're all the same, and we're all the brotherhood of man. So if anybody, and they'll say that's the truth. So if anybody would stand up and say this is the way, what they'll say is, well, everybody says that. We can't all be right. So you just sit down, you're wrong. And if you're trying to force your way or project your way, you're doing it at the expense of other people. You're not getting along. Therefore, you're wrong. You're evil. And it's getting more and more like that. And this is what's happening in the world. People are, there's this pressure to try to conform to this idea that it's all the same, and that you should just be nicer and just get along with everybody because we're all just in the same family. But we're not all in the same family. I know that's like a grenade. Just blow up people's politically correct thing, ideas. But that's not biblical. There is not one family. There are two families. You're either in the family of God or you're not. Fully aware that you put a YouTube video of that, people just get fighting mad. And who do you think you are? I understand that. You don't want to just go and get in somebody's face just arbitrarily because that can sound really bad. You'd have to be really led. But still, you don't have to be mean to people, but this is the truth. This is the truth. When you see things happening in this country and other countries and around the world, this pressure, it's motivated from somewhere. It's a motivation to conform, and it's certainly not conforming to godly ideas. It's conforming to deception. It's trying to cut out the cross to say it's no different. It's the same. The problem is, if that's the same, there's no Savior, and nobody can be in the family of God. They're not the same. That is satanic. That's anti-Christ. It is. It's trying to say all these things are the same. Christ was just another one of. That's anti-Christ. That's deception. But you guys know as well as I do, there's this pressure to, well, not say this is the way, because I don't want to, I mean, everybody says that, right? Anyway, that's you can identify these things. So Satan's a deceiver and the father. Revelation 12:9, so the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth and his angels were cast out with him. He deceives the whole world. deceives the whole world. This is what he's trying to do, deceive the whole world. And the more you get things are moving more globally and everybody has access to everything, the more there's this global pressure. Everybody can see everything that's going on. So there's this global pressure to conform. That's not good. Because again, it's not conforming in the right direction. So we went through some of these things. We talked about 2 Corinthians 4:3, the god of this world. 1 Peter 5:8, that the devil goes about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour, and that we should stand up to him. Ephesians 6:10, we spent some time there. You may to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, that you may stand against the wiles of the devil, the trickery of the devil. And we spent a good amount of time last week. Let's read Ephesians 6:10. There on your sheet. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil," or the schemings, the trickery of the devil. "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." So you're standing, number one, with truth. That you're girding your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now we went, looked at this in the Amplified. Look at verse 12 there, Ephesians 6:12. I think we spent a lot of time on these two verses, or these Ephesians 6:10, and looked at these translations last week. "For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural sphere. Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place." So we are dealing with more than just physical. Again, verse 12 in the Amplified says it's contending with, we're not just wrestling with flesh and blood or contending only with physical opponents, but against despotisms, against the powers, against the master spirits who are the world rulers of this present darkness. So yeah, that's real. We have these different things going on in the spiritual realm. Against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly or supernatural sphere. So these things are going on. And so we went to 2 Corinthians. We've touched on that several times, but here, let's look. Let's go ahead and turn there. 2 Corinthians 10. So we're dealing with the enemy who is put in, who has brought in deception to the world. We know he's the god of this world. We just read that there are spirits that are over areas in the supernatural sphere. I think it was last weekend and the week before, I mean, we emphasized that this is how Satan wages war in a lot of areas. And we started off saying it, that if you're anxious about something, you're believing a lie. And you've actually already succumbed to the enemy's tactics. He's already got you believing something, and therefore not as effective as you can be, you could be. He's got you believing a lie. So you're anxious, which is the opposite of peace, which is the way we're supposed to operate. You realize we're not actually supposed to go around and be stressed all the time. You realize that's not normal for a Christian? I understand the world is stressed and says they're stressed and everybody's busy and we're just, you know, I'm busy. I'm stressed. I got a lot of stuff going on, so I'm stressed. You know that's not supposed to be the way we operate? Well, that's just the way we live now, Jim. Not, maybe a lot of people live like that, and maybe we're dealing with it in some places. We're not supposed to. That's not the how we're supposed to live. We're believing, if we're stressed and feeling like we're always just under a lot of stress, something somewhere is messed up in our thinking and the way we're executing life. We're not actually supposed to be stressed all the time. I mean bad stressed. There's actually, quote-unquote, good stress, too. You stress and de-stress, you know. But you're not supposed to actually be ready to pull your hair out. You know, can't sleep at night. Snapping at everybody around you. Having physical symptoms. That's not normal for a Christian. That's not God's best for a Christian. So something somewhere is out of whack. The answer is not to try to mask it. Well, I'm stressed, so you know, I'll take such and such, it'll knock me out. Well, you're masking the symptoms. Any number of them. I'm not trying to put anybody under condemnation. You be led by God on how He would bring you out of a situation. I'm not against things. I'm saying, but we have to understand, don't put a Band-Aid on something and not really deal with the problem. If that's part of how you're dealing with it and you have a path out, that's one thing. If you say, I can't deal with stuff, I just need this to go away right now and I'll deal with it later, that's like saying, I can't afford this thing right now and I'm going to put it on the credit card. You're going to have to pay it later and it's going to be with interest. That's not a good strategy. A credit card's a financial tool. You know, you get it, you can use one for cash flow or whatever. But if you think, I can't deal with this right now, I'll just deal with it down the line and not know where you're going, you wake up one day and be in a world of hurt. And it's the same thing. If we're stressed all the time, the answer is not to deal with the symptoms. Jeremy, I'm not saying you won't deal with the symptoms to a degree, but understand what you're doing. Understand that, you know, if you have a headache, that taking an aspirin doesn't make the headache go away per se, it masks it, and I'm not against that. But that shouldn't be the don't think that doing something is getting rid of the problem when it's actually just putting it to the side for a little bit. You know, it might be a day you just say, you know what, I'm not dealing with this. Or you have a pain after something. There's nothing wrong with that, okay? Some people get way off in the weeds and they think, God is not against medicine, okay? I don't know why, we're here. I'm not going to say I don't know why we're here. We're here. We ask God to help us, so we're here. God's not against medicine. Some people go off and say, well, you know, doctors are evil. That's foolishness. Doctors are a help. They're accomplishing the same thing as what God wants, okay? How many of you like to see your child suffer? No, you know, somebody raise their hands, we'll have a talk afterwards, right? Nobody likes to watch their child suffer. God's no different. If you could do something to help your child in whatever way it was, you would do it. So doctors help that happen. But you can't, they're men too. They're subject to fail. So that should not again be where our trust is. You know, doctors can rely on what they know, but they don't know everything. And they're going to do their best to diagnose you, but They're not God. And the fact is, medical science is imperfect. And things that people are dealing with now, and drugs they're using, 10, 15, 20 years down the line, some of those, I'm not saying everyone, they're going to find out that they have side effects they didn't know about. We're always learning. So whenever you take any medication, you need to check on the inside and know that you're okay. Know that you're okay doing that. Don't rely on it just in a vacuum. Be led by the Spirit of God. Some people say, well, it's either go to the doctor or take medicine. No. I mean, go to the doctor or believe God. No, it's not separate. If you're going to go to the doctor, you better still believing God. You better not go to the doctor not believing God. Go into an operation just saying, well, I was trying to believe God, but I'm not. Now I'm going to the operation and just let that go. That's not a good strategy. You ought to prayerfully say, God, should I have this operation? Not, the doctor told me to. People can die from that. You know that. I mean, that's not to put fear in anybody. But what am I saying? We have to be led by the Spirit of God what we do and don't do. And we shouldn't just inconsequentially use things that are masking what we're really dealing with. I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm saying we ought to do it with our eyes open and not as a stopgap that is going to go on forever that we don't understand what God's leading us to do. And we got here by talking about anxiety because the world is band-aiding this left and right. There's so many more drugs available. You had to be led. Hallelujah. How do we get there? Glory to God. You know, we were talking about being anxious and how those are lies. And we were going to 2 Corinthians 10. And that we are dealing with supernatural. Praise God. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." So he says in verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh." So this isn't all there is. It's just the natural. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or natural, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Now look on your sheet there. We read this in the Amplified Bible. "For though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ." It says, verse 3, "For though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons." Now, we were just talking about our bodies and medicine. We aren't just carrying on warfare with our natural bodies. If we'll keep in mind, there's a spiritual realm We're a spirit. So what is your body? It's just your means of transportation here on the earth. If you don't have a body, you're not getting around here physically. Right? That's all it is. Some people make too much of the body. They're trying to, you know, they're trying to spend, people will pay all this money, all this effort to try to spend just a couple weeks more on the earth. That's a lack of understanding with what's really going on in the world. Why do you want to stay so bad here? If your race is run, go on. I'm not saying die prematurely. I'm saying people in the natural will fight and act like it's the worst thing if they're going to die. For the Christian, the next thing you're going to see Jesus when you die. It's not a bad thing to die. Now, I don't recommend you go out sick and let the enemy take you out when you have good work to do. On the other hand, why do you want to stay around in this body extra time? When your race is run, you can go on. But people will look at our bodies just like it's the only thing and just get into confusion and make that the thing instead of just your vehicle for getting around. So as long as it's in good working order, you keep using it until you're going to go on. But don't stand it up. I mean, that's the bottom line. You want your body to be in good working order so that you can do the work of God. Don't get hung up so much on, well, I'm really trying to believe God here, and there's this thing that could take care of it like this. You know, maybe medically speaking, and people will go and suffer for years if something's not clicking and will not. I'm not saying you should go get an operation or should get a procedure, but I'm saying we make unnecessary divisions in our mind about what we could do and what we couldn't do instead of what is the bottom line that we're actually doing here on the earth. We're serving God. And if some of your parts need fixing, get them fixed one way or another and get back to the job. Done. Is that too blunt? I mean, people will say, well, I'm trying to get it. God's best is for us to believe God, believe Him for our healing, for everything. And that's where you ought to walk. But on the other hand, if you're suffering forever, put it back to your children again. If you have children, think of how you would approach their well-being and what you would tell them to do. And if your answer is you're suffering, just get that taken care of for your kid, but you're looking at you that, I'm not telling you to go against the will of God. If God's speaking, I'm not trying to tell you just do whatever procedure or medicine is necessary either, because we just got done saying you don't want to do that. On the other hand, don't get into a pseudo-religious thing where it really comes down to pride sometimes that I just won't, I'm stuck over here and thinking I, for pride's sake, I want to believe God for this so I can tell people something when really that's a wrong motivation. The reason we want to get our healing is so that we can go and do our job. Not so that you can go show everybody that God's word works, because they don't care. We already have the Bible and Jesus, and there's plenty of miracles, and people still don't care. There were people that stood right in front of Jesus as he did a miracle and still crucified him. If that doesn't show you that miracles will not convince people that don't want to be convinced, they'll write it off some way or another. They'll say, nah, that was just this. Nah, that was a coincidence. Whatever. They don't have to believe. And so if you're soldiering through, think, I'm going to show people that this word works. That's the wrong reason. They're not going to believe you. You know, in the account of Lazarus, when Jesus was talking about the rich man and Lazarus, you know, the rich man was like, go back and show my family. Tell them because they'll believe. And You know, he's told them, no, even if one were to raise from the dead and go and tell them, they wouldn't believe. And that's exactly what happened. Jesus is risen, but people won't believe him. So don't get into this. That can be, you can be off in the corner. And I've seen people just go year after year after year after year after year. And they think they're soldiering on, but really, this thing owns their life. That identifies them. They're not going on. Just understand that we have, that it's not all flesh, that it's not all natural. Though we walk or live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. If you look at your body as just a tool, as more like you do your car, let me ask you a question. How many of you, if you had a cracked engine block or, you know, you broke an axle on your car, would go lay hands on the car and believe that God is going to heal that car right now? Before I ask you that question, how many of you believe God could completely put your car back together like that? How many of you believe he has the power to do it? So why don't you just operate that way? How many of you, last time it broke like that, you laid your hands on your car? Or how many of you took it to a mechanic? But could God do it? Could God make your car better than it was before, just like this? Is it a problem of power? No. It's a problem of believing. He can do all things are possible to him who believe. That's not the problem of if he can do it. Well, God can. His best is for me to be healed. That's not the problem. He can do it. Yes, he can do it. If you had your arm chopped off, he could restore it completely. That's not the problem. It's his power. It's his, can you believe him? So if you're ever faced with a decision of do I go and have the procedure done or do I believe God, you need to ask yourself honestly, do I believe that this is going to happen, not this could happen and I feel guilty if I don't believe God because that's his best. Those are two different things. Amen. I believe somebody needs this in here today, else we wouldn't be here. Don't get caught up over here and being in condemnation year after year, thinking I'm a failure as a Christian. I should believe God and God can do it, and I'm just not. God is looking at you as his child like you would look at your child. You wouldn't be saying, you dummy, you just can't do it right. You would want them to be well. Wouldn't you? Your spouse, wouldn't you want him to be well? You know, I just want you to be well. Your body is more like your car. It's how you get around here. So if you want to get it in working shape and keep it in working shape so we can do what we need to do here on this earth, that's the way. If we look at it like that, then we'll approach certain decisions and won't get hung up on sidetracks and say, the bottom line is I just need to be able to do what I'm supposed to do. Then earnestly go to God and he knows where you're at. He'll always bear witness, not with a religious idea, but he'll say, son, daughter, this is where you're at. Do this. And if you'll be led by him, you'll get it done. You'll go on and you'll be able to do what you're called to do. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Well, we got to wrap up here. He said, for though we walk live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh and using mere human weapons. The weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds, inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself up against the true knowledge of God, and we lead every thought and every purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So we'll wrap up here. We seem to hit this area so much, so we'll wrap it up here. Don't be sidetracked. We have to, number one, keep in mind that this is a spiritual battle, that it's not just natural. The enemy is a spirit being. He will hit you in your body because you know, as well as I do, if your body's hurting, it affects your mind. It can get you off. You can get hit in the mind, and that affects your body. It's all together. But if we'll realize this isn't just one situation, realize if your body's hurting, do what you need to do with God to get you. Know that the real thing is the kingdom of God and the work there. And don't be sidetracked because the devil is tricky. We're talking about deception. We're talking about deceiver. He will deceive you into thinking you need to do something and keep you sidetracked on some insignificant thing, when in fact the real will of God is for you to take care of this issue in a certain way, where you're at, get past it, and get back on track. And let me tell you, if you're feeling depressed, we started out with anxiety, if you're feeling anxious constantly, and let's say it's a physical issue, and this, you are depressed or sad day after day because you're dealing with this. And you're dealing with this. Poor you, you're dealing with this. And this is your, this consumes your thoughts. And if this could just go away, I'd just be happy. Number one, that's a lie. You could be happy right where you are, but I can't. You don't understand. Nope, that's wrong. You could choose to be happy right now. But the Bible says to rejoice always. And so if something is causing you, or you're going down a path where you're constantly depressed, constantly sad, and you're just feeling like, if I just get this bet through, if I could just get this thing done in my body, but then I just don't want to do it this way because God would be displeased with me, you are a victim of Satan's lies and deception. He's got you in circles. He's got you completely inconsequential in the race of life. You're over here doing this and just going around circles and affecting nothing in the kingdom of God because you're deceived into thinking you're fighting some battle and you can't move forward instead of having a clear mind and just going on with God and saying, okay, Lord, you said that I'm supposed to rejoice always. I choose to be happy today. I choose to be not anxious. I choose to believe that you can overcome anything. Now show me the path out of this thing for me. I don't care about anybody on TV, anybody else I heard about it. You show me what is my move. No condemnation. You know me better than I know myself. How do I get out of this thing? You show me what to do in my body. You show me where I need to go. You show me what I need to do and how I need to be helped. And I will get out. But I know one thing. I'm going to enjoy this day because this is the day the Lord has made. I know that's in the Bible. I know that's what I'm supposed to do. So I'm going to enjoy today. And then you show me which way we're going to go and I'm going to do it. And then I'm going to do the next step. I'm going to do the next step. I'm going to do the next step. And I am on the road to freedom. I'm telling you, there are so many people in the body of Christ that are swirling off in the weeds because they're condemned and they're just not getting back to just following God, and so God can actually help them get their body, their tool, back in where it needs to be so that they can enjoy life again. It's become a side journey to try to quote-unquote get their healing, and they're not even focusing on what God is telling them to do. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.